we just read there in Genesis 22, this is the first account we have of one of the Lord's names, Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh. That's the title of this message in the article, in the bulletin there by Brother Frank Tate. He lists the seven names that we commonly use. And people argue, well, there's eight, and well, maybe so. But seven's plenty enough for us to chew on for now. And gives us characteristics of Jehovah. They're all Him. It's completely Him. But we need to understand these things in a way we can be taught. He teaches us to it. He shows Himself to us. But Jehovah Jireh, the self-existent one, Jehovah, will provide. He'll see to it. That's what it means. He'll see to it. It has been seen too. But who is Jehovah? Before we learn what His second name is, we have to learn who He is, don't we? That's the Eternal One. Did you have a beginning? Did I? I had a beginning. He didn't. He always has been. Well, I can't understand that. Me neither. Nobody else can. But He is. He always has been. And that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. When you read that in the Scriptures, all four letters capitalized, that's Jehovah. The Eternal One, the self-existent One, who always has been. These names that we're going to look through the next 7 weeks, Lord willing, start with Jehovah Jireh, we'll look at this morning. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. He'll see to it. Jehovah Rapha, there in Exodus 15. The Lord that healeth. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Reha, Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. The Lord's present. He's with us. Jehovah Jireh, that's the Lord will provide. All things are provided in Christ. That's where we start. That's where we're starting at, Jehovah Jireh. In Christ, in the Lord, all things are provided for His people. But what about healing? What about Jehovah Rapha? That's provided in Christ. We're healed from our sin. Healed from our death, aren't we? Given life. What about Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner? He is who we run to. And He is that guy on that ensign. That's a unit flag on the end of a pole for the military. He's the one that's high and lifted up that we proclaim to others. His people rally around Him. They come to Him. They're drawn to Him. And that's who they profess to others. Well, I believe Christ, but you know, you can do it on your own. And you ought to choose Jesus. No, Him. High and lifted up. That's who we rally around. He's our peace. You're going to have your peace, where's it going to be? Jehovah Shalom. In Christ and what He's accomplished. Because of who He is and what He did for His people that's done forever. Now we have peace. Why is there peace? There's atonement made. Atonement has been made. Propitiation has been made. There's no condemnation. He's our shepherd. Did He just save us? And well, I live in another state. I've said that many times. If I was married to Kimberly, but she lived here and I lived in three states over, well, I love her. I ain't seen her in 2 years. Would you think I love her? You think I'm part of her? We're one? No. He's the Lord our shepherd. He guides us. He protects us. He feeds us. He teaches us. Trains us up as we should go. And He's our righteousness. Jehovah Sitkenu. Christ is our righteousness. Because of Him, because of that water and blood from His side that flowed, we've been bought and we've been made pure. We've been given His holy nature, His righteousness that cannot sin. He was made us. We were made Him. He's provided Himself our righteousness. And He's present. He's always with us. He didn't leave us alone. That shepherd's always with us. His righteousness is always with us. That banner that we wave high, Jehovah Nisi, He's always with us. Providing for us. Healing us. I pray that's who we can see this morning. Who will be with us today. I pray He'll provide Himself today to us. I believe He will. But this is, people say, well, that's the Lord, Jehovah, capital L-O-R-D. And the Lord Jesus Christ is capital L, lowercase O-R-D. Those are the same. Those are the same. Christ and His Father are one. How can I know that? His Word tells me so. As in John 10:30, Christ our Savior walked this earth and He said, I and my Father are one. Did that happen after He was born, after that immaculate conception? Or has that always been? Isaiah said, behold, the Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. That means the sovereign, the controller. Behold, the Lord, comma, the Lord Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. Calls them by the same name. They're one. Are they separate? Yes. Are they one? Yes. They sure are. The great three in one. The triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That Father, who's one with the Son, one with the Spirit, all three of them, the triune God, the fullness of the Godhead, dwells in a body, in a person. He said, you prepared a body for me. And He came here to be made like us, made like His people, yet without sin, made human. What's He Lord of? Who's the Lord? The Lord Jehovah, Lord of all things. What's He Lord of? I always break down three easy ways, isn't it? Lord of creation. He made all things. He truly created. That's a common name that's flew around our society left and right. I'm a creator. I create content on the internet. I create things. There's one creator. God created something. It says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same in the beginning with God. And all things were created by Him. That all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. What about those beautiful things that Michelangelo and Leonardo and all those sculptors and artists, what they created? No, Lord put that in them, didn't He? What about those doctors that come out with wonderful inventions that help our mortal bodies? And medicines they come up with. Did they make that? Did they're just brilliance? Did that worm come up with something magnificent? Lord put that in Him for His people, didn't He? That's what He did. He's created all things. He's the beginning of all things. He's the Lord of providence. He's made all things. Me, you, everything. The air we breathe, we can't see. Things seen, things unseen. Principalities, powers are His. He's created it and He rules it. He's the influencer. That's another term run around. I'm an influencer. He's the creator. He's the influencer. He sustains all things. For of Him, that's source. Through Him, that's the means. And to Him, that's the end state, are all things. All things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Isaiah said, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or who being His counselor hath taught Him? You going to teach the Lord something? With whom He took counsel and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, taught Him in knowledge and showed to Him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as a small dust in the balance. You take those mighty kings of Sodom we just looked at, or whoever. The most powerful nation on the face of the earth that you would shake in your boots to. I'd be like Abram. Oh, I need a shield. My reward's gone. I gave it up. He says, they ain't even dust on the scales. You don't even blow it off. It don't count. Drop it a bucket. Ain't a thimble in the ocean in it. Nebuchadnezzar, I love this. Daniel 4:35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. What about the creators and the influencers of our great generation? Nothing. They're reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? What are you doing? How many times a month do I get asked what I'm doing? Kevin, what are you doing? You can ask me that. We're equal, ain't we? I'm just a man. You ain't going to ask that. We ain't equal to God. He's above us. He's a God of providence and God of creation. And He's the Lord of salvation. The Lord of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah cried from the belly, didn't he? Every sinner born of God cries, salvation's of the Lord. Because He's the Lord of salvation. It comes from Him and He rules it. He created it. That's His business. And His perfect wisdom and holiness. He said, I can be just and I can show mercy. I can justify sinners and remain just. You and I can't do that. We cannot show mercy and maintain justice. You either maintain strict justice, or you'll forego it, and let's show mercy. We'll just push the law underneath the rug. The Lord's the only one. He's the Lord of salvation. He's the just and the justifier in His Son. His Son created all things. His Son governs and rules all things. And salvation's of Him. And here in our text, if we could get a hold of these 10 words, get a hold of it. The Lord showed us something. We may finally know something about salvation. We may finally know the God of salvation. Look here in verse 8. Genesis 22, verse 8. At the end of it, it said, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That's what we will look at this week. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He will provide. What does He provide? We know He's God. He's the self-existing eternal one. He's Jehovah. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they're the same. They're all one, manifest in Christ. And He provides. God will provide. What's He going to provide? What's He going to provide? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We're so akin to look at this world because that's where we live. We're so tempted to look to this body because that's what we live in. That's what we feel. And that's where our concerns go initially. And our old flesh is worried about the flesh. Matthew 6, verse 27. Matthew 6, 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Which of you can grow 4 inches just because you just went and thought it real hard? Well, nobody can. Of course they can't. They cut 2,000 years ago. They can't now. Just think it real hard. I'm gonna turn my hair red. You can't do it. I'm a fool. And why take you any thought for raiment, your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You ever seen a beautiful flower? Lord made it so. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, that's something temporary, so short, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Don't be worried about those things. Does that mean we don't eat, we don't drink, we walk around naked? We got more sense than that, don't we? The Lord's going to use some means. We'll see that in a second. But don't be wrapped up in those things. Don't let that have your focus. Don't be concerned to those things. He said, for after these things do the Gentiles seek. That's what heathens do. They're worried about this world. They're worried about the temporality of this world. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. He knows you need something to eat, something to drink, and something to wear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God provides as He sees fit. He provides our needs in this world, temporally, as we walk through this world. Do you think He ought to? Paul told us that in Romans 8. He said, God, who spared not His own Son, shall He not freely give you all these things? And you know what our good-for-nothing old man says, our flesh says? Well, God ain't going to do it. I'll go down to the welfare office. How many help-wanted signs did you pass on the way down to that welfare office? Maurice wrote an article I put in a bulletin about those little birds on his back porch. And every time their mother comes with that food, they open their mouths up real big. They don't toil, they don't plan, they don't build barns, do they? But the Lord gave them jawbones to open their mouth and cry to their mommy, didn't He? He gave us enough sense to do that. What is it that the Lord says? He said, He knows you need neither of these things, drink, food, raiment. Paul wrote to us in Philippians 4, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That was singular. All your need. Well, what's the food and the drink and the clothing I need? Christ. Isn't it? Isn't that His body? His blood? His raiment? His covering? His robe of righteousness? We need Him. We need His person and His work. That's our need. That's our need. We want other things. We need Him more than our daily bread, don't we? Christ, the bread of life. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 4. That need that we have, His body, His blood, and His righteousness, we need Him as our substitute for sin. That's a singular. We need Him. We need to provide Him to provide Himself a lamb. We need a sacrifice that bulls and goats cannot do. Won't do no good. Hebrews 10, verse 4. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. It ain't possible. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Those bloods, those goats, the bulls, the goats, the lambs, millions of them. All of it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That body was prepared for Him. He's the sacrifice. Those are types of pictures that point to Him. And He's come. And He said, the Lord didn't want the blood of some old of a cow. That was a picture. Something we could see and smell and think of Him. To see His Son. It says in verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. That ain't working. Then said I. Then the Son spoke. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me, to do thy will, O God. What did He come here to do? To provide Himself a lamb. To be our substitute. To save sinners. To save His people from their sins. He had to become us that we might become Him. He'd be made us so we could be made Him. That's what He did. He's that lamb. He's the one that is provided. If John the Baptist was here, would you take him at his word? Or would he say, this is what we're doing? Why, John, I don't know why. Why, John, why? Okay, what do you want done? John the Baptist stood here and he stood up and said, behold the Lamb of God. Is that simple? Is that complicated? Is that something we can understand? God will provide Himself a lamb. There's the lamb. There He is. Behold Him. At that time, everybody, they knew this story. In our day and age, this is getting more brief and more brief and more brief. I think the Lord's coming soon. He said, as in the days of Noah. And then people argue over if there was computers or not in Noah's day. If they had overhead cranes to build an ark. Okay, there's eight believers on the face of the earth. The Lord may whittle us down to where there's eight people that believe the gospel. In this whole world before His Son comes back. We don't know. But we'll see the Lamb. He's the one that we're to behold. That's what we have need of. We have need for a sacrifice for our sin. My blood won't do it. Your blood won't do it. A cow, a goat, a sheep. It ain't going to happen. That won't do it. It must be the blood of another. There in Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified. We are set apart, anointed, made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Does He have to do this over and over? He, like him priests, that had to, every year and every month and every day and a couple times a day, and keep taking these sacrifices. He laid down His life one time. You going to add anything to it? A heathen will try to add to it. Somebody that don't know God will try to add to it. He's done it once. It's done. It's finished. Peter told us that. For Christ also hath suffered for sins. Suffered once for sins. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He was put to death in the flesh, so you and I could be quickened by the Spirit. We could have life. And He suffered this once. He did it once. God shows here in our text, back in Genesis 22, that He provides what He requires. All these other things, the temporal things, Lord provided that. If I have a job, who gave me that job? If I can walk, who gave me legs to walk? If he's made me able, who made me able? And if He didn't, well, the state's taken. Governor Newsom's taking care of you. Who gave Newsom to you? Who sustains him? The Lord provides it, don't He? And He provides the means. But He provides what He requires first. And then we're given what is required of us. He provides that too. It says in Genesis 22, verse 1, I pray we see our Lord in this. See Christ in it. As we look through this, read this as Abraham's the father and Isaac is the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things. After what things? Those 10 great trials of Abraham. Ain't he been through enough? You think he's been through enough? Going back and forth with his wife. Two separate kings he had to deal with that. And Lot's gone and he intercedes for Sodom. And it's just one thing after another. And then Ishmael, he loved him. Get him out of here. Send Hagar with him. He's been through enough, hasn't he? After these things. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt. He proved Abraham. And said unto him, Abram. And he said, behold, here I am. If the Lord's going to give somebody faith, he's going to prove it. He ain't proving it to him. It's his faith and he gave it. And he sustains it. He knows what that faith he gives you is going to do. He's proving it to you. He's proving it to you that he's faithful. That's what he's proving. Came to pass when Abraham said, behold, here am I. And he said, take thou thy son. For which one? I got two of them. Thine only son. Well, I only had one son with Sarah and I only had one son with Hagar. The one that you love. Well, I love both of them. Of course he did. He cared for both of them, didn't he? Thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell of thee. That mountain they go to, that's where the temple was built in Jerusalem. He gave his only son. What did our father do? He sacrificed his only son on that same mountain. Up in that same area, wasn't it? And Abraham rose up early in the morning. This wasn't something that was haphazard. He saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Could you imagine him as a man stacking that wood on those asses? Every little piece. Knowing what's going to happen. He's done this 100 times with lambs, and I'm going to do it to my only son that I love, Isaac, the one that God promised through him, his Savior, Abraham's Savior, is going to come through that one. You're going to cut him up. He sharpened his knife. He obeyed God, didn't he? Then on the third day, you see what I see? 3 days. On the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, those servants there, abide here with the asses. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Well, we could learn something there. They're going to go worship. What do you know about worship? You want to stand up and speak on God's behalf? To help instruct people on how worship ought to be? We better know what we're talking about. He said him and the son is going to go worship. What's that? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. There ain't no worship without sacrifice. God won't hear it without the blood. And that sacrifice is worshiping God. You talk about praising. People say these worship songs and these big gatherings. We're going to sit around, we're going to sing hymns all day and all this stuff. And there better be some blood. And if you see the blood that he put on the doorpost, that he passes over, he'll pass over you because he sees the blood. Boy, there's going to be rejoicing. That's going to come with it. That's inherent, isn't it? That's instinctive. You can't keep from it. You can't keep from being happy about it. If you see his blood. But they're going to go worship. They're going to go sacrifice. That's what they're going to do. And come again to you. Abraham knew he was going to kill Isaac up on that mountain. He's going to take that knife out. He's going to cut his throat. Quarter him. Cut his only son that he loves into fourths. And set him on fire. He knew it was going to happen. And he said, and we'll come again to you. Is that a man that believes God? People have talked for years. They say, I don't know if I have that faith. You don't. And Abraham didn't either until God gave it. And that new man, he gave the faith that was necessary. He needed faith to get through this. What God requires, he gives. He provided Abraham the faith to do this. I've listened to a man sitting in a pew one time, me and you did. And he said, boy, ain't you thankful that Abraham chose to believe God and serve him? And I thought he was leading like a real sarcastic point. I said, that's kind of out of tune, but we'll see what he's getting at. No, God did this. God did this. It's a stumbling stone for everybody else. The child of God sees this as the Lord's doing. And Abraham took the wood, there, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. Those servants weren't there with them. Why? Abraham's 120 years old. Isaac's about 20. And those two strapping young men, those two strapping servants down there, they try to put their hand to it to stop it. I've heard a bunch of old preachers when I was growing up say, well, if I was there, I wouldn't have let them kill Christ. If you knew what that blood was, you'd sure go along with it, wouldn't you? If you knew what he was accomplishing that hour that he had come to, you sure wouldn't try to stop it. Peter said, I ain't going to let this happen. He said, get behind me, Satan. That's the devil's business, isn't it? And we disguise it in our morality. Man's depravity ain't the bad things we do. It's the what we think's good that God will accept. That's depravity. I saw it from Greg. That's in the bulletin too. You read it. But he took, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon his son. That wooden cross. Prepared before. That tree was planted. Do you think a wind could have blew that tree over that Christ hung on? No. He's the Lord of creation. He needed a tree to be hung on. He provided that. Nothing could have burnt that tree down or chopped it down. Nothing. Couldn't happen. And he laid it on his son. And Christ bore that cross up Golgotha's hill, didn't he? He carried his cross up there. The Father had the fire in his hand. Fire of wrath. Of judgment. What you and I deserved. And the knife to kill him. Did men kill him? Did men hang him on that cross? Are we willing to put him there? Yeah, by wicked hands we took him and slew him. This is by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. By his pre-planning and his love beforehand, that's what come to pass. And they went together. Those servants didn't come because this is a transaction between the Father and the Son. Make Christ your Lord. You can't. He is. You understand that? It's already been settled. Don't you choose to get saved? No, it's already done. Lord may reveal it to you. I pray Christ is revealed in every heart in this building. That'd be something. That's called salvation. When he reveals his son in you, same as he birthed you. How'd you get alive? You had to be separated from your mother's womb. How you have spiritual life? Christ must be revealed in you. This is a covenant between the Father and the Son before time ever began. He became our surety. He was that lamb slain. He was provided before the foundation of the world. I can't understand it. Me neither. I believe it. That's so common for man to say, it's right because I know. No, it's right. You just need to catch up. That's what it is. Well, I read it and I know this is right because I read it. No, it was right before you read it. It was still in print, wasn't it? No man can stop it. It says in verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. What did he say at the tomb of Lazarus? Father, I'm saying these things out loud so they can hear it. I know you hear me always. He said, here am I, son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? In the flesh, this 20-year-old boy, 18, 19, 20 years old, however old, strapping young man. He was well taught. He was well taught. His father told him these things. He knew what the sacrifice was. He knew he had to have fire. He knew he had to have wood. He knew there had to be a lamb. Where's the lamb? That's a question we ought to ask. I try to ask myself that, I hope. And I'm so fearful. I'm scared. I don't listen to my messages. I don't go back and listen to them. I don't like the sound of my voice, and I'm scared to death of what I may have said wrong. I thought, I hope in every message I have, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? I can show him. As a boy, Isaac, as a human, as a sinner saved by grace, he had some sense. He was taught. How's them children? What's the best? Man's tactics say, you know, children learn best if it's the color green. So we're going to have these coloring books and these organizations for children. We can teach them Christ by having them green things mostly. God says, you go have circumcision. And you go have the Passover, and you have these things I give you. And when your children say, why are we doing this Passover, Daddy? Then you tell them, God saved his people through his son. How are they going to know that? How are they going to teach that Sunday school class? God's going to have to teach parents first, isn't he? God taught Abraham. Abraham taught Isaac. Isaac knew this as a person. How is this our Lord? I would be so frightful to even enter into explaining that. It's over my head anyway. But this is a picture of our Lord. It says in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What a frightening thing. And Abraham said, my son, verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You think Isaac understood he was the lamb? And they went both of them together. He didn't say he grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and drug him up that hill, did he? He walked. He walked. Isaac believed the word of his father. Christ believed the word of his father. He believed him. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told of him. And Abram built an altar there and laid the wood in order. This wasn't hasty. This was planned before the foundation of the world. This hour. This hour is what this is representing. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Was he kicking and screaming? Here's a 20-year-old boy that can carry wood up a big old mountain. And here's a 120-year-old man. And he bound him. How could he bind him? He willingly laid down his life. He believed God. Son, Christ is going to come through your seed. You're my offspring. He's coming through this lineage. And we're going to go back down this hill. We're going to worship God. A sacrifice is going to take place. And we are going to go back to my servants. There's going to be conflict between us, but we're going back to the servants. We're responsible for them. They're ours. And Isaac believed. And he willingly stuck his hands out and said, tie me up, Daddy. What'd our Lord do? He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. He said, no man take it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, because they're one. And I have the power to take it back up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Abraham looked at Isaac and said, son, sit down. I'm going to tie you up. I'm going to cut your throat, quarter you, burn you. And God's going to raise you up. You're going to live. We're going to walk back down this mountain. And Isaac said, that's right. I believe you. As a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, believe in his Father. People say, I believe God. I do. Lord, help my unbelief. I see what unbelief I have. What an unprofitable servant I am. I'm thankful for my substitute more every day. That's the one that believed for me, because I couldn't. He's able. He's able, isn't he? It says in verse 22, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, to reach across his head and cut his throats. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. Picture's complete. Don't you touch him. Don't do anything to him. You ever done something wrong? In times past and in times now, I've seen believers think that other believers ought to be punished. One, that ain't right. You might be chastened by the Lord. Punishment's all been laid on Christ if you're his. Don't need punishment. They say, well, they ought to pay. They ought to learn their lesson. Don't touch them. Don't touch them. Leave them alone. They're the Lord's. He'll see to it. He said, for I know now that thou fearest God. That's not a surprise that angel of the Lord, this is Christ coming to speak to him. He knew he feared God. He's the one that made him fear God. The better translation, old Henry said, better translation for this is now everybody knows. You know, and I tell you what, those around you is going to know. He always did know. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy only son from me. Man that doesn't leave his father and his mother and his wife and his children and take up his cross and follow me ain't worthy of me. Does that mean you got to hate your mother and hate your father and be mean to them? No. If you value them over Christ, you ain't worthy of me. If he valued that only son, that one you loved, Isaac, whom your seed shall be called. If you valued that person more than Christ, you ain't worthy of him. He said, I see you didn't withhold thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Isaac knew of God, knew of Christ and his sacrifice. He knew of his person and his work. Abraham knew of the person and work of Christ. And one more time, he looked behind him. You think they walked right past it? How ignorant are we? How many times have we walked right past the gospel? How many times have we walked right past the gospel sitting in the pew? Didn't know it was there. And he sees behind him. In times past, way before this earth ever was, Christ was that lamb slain. Behind him in a thicket, by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt sacrifice, a burnt offering, instead of his son. Substitution and satisfaction. We need a substitute. God has to be satisfied with that substitute, and that's Christ. Before we're going to get to that, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He'll provide. As it's said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. It's going to be seen to it. He'll provide. He'll see to it. He'll perform it. He provides or performs. Was he successful? That's his name. That's the first characteristic we have of him. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Now, did he do it? Will he live up to his name? I'm my grandfather's namesake. I'm named after him. And I don't know if I'll live up to his name. Will the Lord live up to his name? We read earlier in Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. We're joint heirs with him. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Don't touch that lad. When was all our sins purged? When the work was finished. Where is he at now? Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's a successful Savior. He's provided. And that provision has been accepted. Why? Because of where he is now. He's risen. He's risen. David wrote that. Said, "The Lord," capital L-O-R-D, all capitals, "Jehovah said unto my Lord," the sustainer, the sovereign, Christ Jesus our Lord, "Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." All provision is in him. All acceptance is in him. He's provided it. So that's been done. Work's finished, isn't it? What's our job? Tell men and women, you can't do it. It's already done. He did it. Now believe on him. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Me neither. Is he going to provide? That's his name. You believe him? Trust him? You hang on his word? If you do, call on him. Be like Abram when he needed a shield and he needed a reward. It's all gone. What are we going to do? These kids got to eat. Call on the Lord that provides. Call to him. And you'll probably get an answer before he speaks. Before you speak. That's what a man called out one time and said, "Lord, I need a job." And he said, "Lord, I need a..." And he tripped over a sign that said, "Help wanted." He provides. He provides often. And in this world, I worry. I ain't no different than anybody else. I ain't no different than Abraham. I ain't no different than you. I ain't no different than the Lord's people to come. I worry. How are we going to make it? How much do you need? A little more. How many people can you fit on a bus? I learned that in the Army. You know how many people you can fit on a bus? One more. That's how many you can fit on a bus. We'll put that one on. How many can you fit now? One more. How much do I need? A little more. I always think of that. The Lord provided these earthly things, temporal things. And he gives us our wants. So many of our wants. He's given us our one thing that we need. That singular, that need. It's him, isn't it? He's provided himself a lamb. What else do we need? Nothing. Nothing. We have Christ and all this. He's the thing needful. All right.